Welcome to the Josh Freeman Show.
Freeman, the pass toward the end zone. Toward the end zone. It's caught! Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers!
Now here's Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host, Scott Ledger.
Oh, man, is it Thursday already? This week is flying by. It is time for the Josh Freeman Show. And, of course, tomorrow night, Buccaneers Total Access. Real quick, people, do Michael Spurlock. Welcome in for a Thursday night as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get ready to take on the Carolina Panthers. Stinking Panthers. We already got the best of them a little bit earlier this year. We're looking to do the same this year. Right now, you know, they're banged up at running back. And then the issue with this football team is they're kind of like that wounded Wolverine just sitting in a corner, a bunch of dogs barking at it. Think they're all going to get the best of it. And you just can't look the other way when it comes to the Carolina Panthers. It's a division game. It's obviously a conference game. And it's not like they expect to do anything. They're 1-7. They know the playoffs is completely a pipe dream for them. But let's face it, this is a team that they don't like us. We don't like them. They've gotten the best of us. Overall, the series, by the way, for the Carolina Panthers, you know, they still lead this series 12-8. And, of course, that figures in this win, you know, that we had in the second week when we went up there and Josh was 12-24, threw for about 50%. But he threw for about 7.4 yards per pass play. And that was probably the best we'd seen from Josh because, remember, looking back to last year, the Green Bay game, there were still picks in that game. And Josh throws two touchdowns, no interceptions, and that was his highest quarterback, or second highest quarterback rating, of 102.4. All right, I'm going to start you off with last week's game. It was Thursday, or here we are on a Thursday. The Falcons are up 14-0. We got a slow start off the offense. Give me a quick synopsis as to why you think it's teetering on a slow start, especially in the first quarter anyways, this team right now.
You know, it really, that 14-0 start, I mean, we had that one drive that really that sack set us back, but that was our only drive. You know, they scored their first possession. Quarter touchdown, their second possession, and we had one drive in between where we were moving the ball, and it just stalled on us. It would have helped. They picked up that late hit penalty, which would have had us way down in their territory. But basically, our drive went from I think the 20 across the 50 yard line. We got down to 35 or so. But we had one possession, so I wouldn't say it was a slow start per se, but. It might appear so because they scored their first two possessions.
Yeah, I think the time of possession was lopsided, but I think they only had four. I want to look. I see, and we're talking about the whole first half of the football game. Let me see. They had three, and there we are at halftime. Yeah, four possessions, and you guys, I think, ended up with three. So let's get to Michael Spurlock gets that big 68-yarder, and finally you guys get some good field position. I think Blunt gets you about three. It was an incomplete pass to Caddy, but there was an illegal shift. So it was declined. So set you up with that 3rd and 7, and then I think it's where you hit Mike Williams for about 14 yards all the way down just before the bend touchdown.
Yeah. No, Mike did a great job. They brought an all-out blitz. Mike did a great job of crossing the defender's face, and we were able to put it on him.
Now, the bend thing was interesting to see because it was you looked like you guys were trying, you know, as Greg Olsen wants to do, is get a good matchup. I think he was matched up on the linebacker, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And did he go in motion?
Yeah, he came down in motion, and we were selling a play where he comes into the line of scrimmage and blocks and then gets out in the flat. And I mean, it was a great call by Coach Olsen, a great job by Aurelius.
Did you roll right by design?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was by design.
Yeah, roll right by design, and Aurelius turned it up. Matchup on the linebacker, I mean, you'll take the wide out any day, and he made a great catch.
Well, you're the quarterback, so I got to give you some credit where you put the ball, too. it was like right on the pylon, right on his outside shoulder. He had a trailing guy. He wasn't wide open, and he didn't have a lot of room to move. That's probably a nice little throw. I'm sure you were happy with it.
Hey, whatever works. Whatever works.
Well, he catches his first touchdown pass. That makes it 14-7. Then they get a field goal from everybody still loves Matt Bryan around here, and he did a lot of things in the Tampa Bay area. That makes it 17-7. And then we get the ball back again, and Cadillac Williams, you're starting to use Caddy a lot more, you know, not just in the two-minute drive, not just, you know, in the check down. It almost seems like you're going to start featuring him as a receiver. He's going to be an extra receiver here.
Yeah, I mean, Cadillac out of the backfield. I mean, he does an amazing job. He understands protection schemes extremely well. And when his assignment doesn't come blitzing, I mean, he's right out in his route immediately. And as a quarterback, that's awesome because a lot of times, the sooner the guy can get out, the less time the defenders have to react. So especially when they're playing zone, they're dropping into their zone. If Cadillac gets out quick, you get it on him. I mean, he turns around, it could be easily a 10-yard gain.
And he's got, you give him an open space, and, you know, he's still got that burst, and he can break a tackle or two. So he's starting. Well, that was a nine. The reception right there was a nice 9-yarder. Then he had a 1-yarder. And then let me ask you about running. Let me look at how many runs you got now. Let me see. Where's your rushes? Here we go. You have carried the ball 29 times. You're averaging 7 yards a carry. Do you like running? I saw your press conference the other day, and you said you're not crazy about it. You'd rather sit back in the pocket. But
running is one of those things that's a necessary evil. You know, it's one of the things when you have an opportunity to run. I mean, I want to do whatever I can to gain yards to help the team win. But at the same time, I mean, the system's designed a specific way, and the quarterback's designed to drop back and throw the ball. But, I mean, of course, if I see man-to-man, the thought to run will cross my mind, but that's only after to take away my primary options on the play.
And those corners start to turn their backs to you. Yeah. They're not going to be able to close in on space. But let me ask you about a couple of times now you've gone in, slid. Guys have come in with a shoulder a little late. Nothing too blatant, but, you know, they picked up a flag. Do you think your size is hurting you when you know, if that's Peyton Manning, my friend, that's 15 yards.
Yeah.
Okay. That's 15 yards. I know it's something you can't change, but do you think that's a deterrent?
I mean, obviously, being a big guy, I mean, when guys hit me, it doesn't look near as bad or as violent as it is sometimes, but that's also a benefit. You know, guys come in like the blindside sack on the first drive. The guy had a full head of steam, basically just came and stuck his helmet in my back, and I mean, yeah, it knocked me down, but I mean, I wasn't really fazed. You know, I guess that's being a big physical quarterback.
You got it. Let me ask you about running out of bounds. I think Michael Vick is starting to learn that, you know, sometimes if you're down near the goal line, you want to surrender it. If the game's on the line, there's one reason to give up a shoulder. But for the most part, Andy Reid has mentioned that we hope Michael can learn to run out of bounds. And what we're saying here, Josh, is we want you around a long, long time here, kid.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want you getting knocked around. You don't need to be the human pinata to get us first down. So I know you can take it, but until the yellow flags start flying, just make sure you slide a little sooner.
Yeah, that's what they tell me.
Yeah, they keep saying, oh, did you hesitate? Is that what they said to you? You hesitated?
I'm not really, I guess, authorized to.
Okay. All right. Yeah, FedEx. Okay. Yeah. We won't worry about FedEx.
Yeah.
next play, they bring the house. They bring the house, and Mike Williams and you hook up for 58-yarder. Describe what was going on there.
No, we had a play called. Initially, we weren't 100% sure what they were going to do. If they're going to bring pressure, they're going to drop in a zone. And we went up, and on the dummy cadence, they showed an all-out blitz. So I looked over at Mike, kind of gave him a little head nod, stuck down the slant signal, and Mike did the rest. You know, he ran a slant, did a great job getting separation from his defender, put it on him, and then he showed a lot of speed outrunning the rest of the players in the field.
Yes,
to the end
he did.
Zone.
Says he's not fast, by the way. He was on the show last night, and he says, I'm not fast. And I was like, okay, well, we beg to differ. But he also made to mention that you didn't get blitzed for the rest of the game.
Yeah, that was the last time they all had blitzed us.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things teams are going to try to see if you recognize it. They're going to try to blitz and see if you can pick it up or see if you have a plan where to go with the ball. And, I mean, if you hit them like we did, I mean, it's not very likely they'll do it again.
Matt Bryan gets him another field goal, 27-14, and then Michael Spurlock does his thing again. I want you to talk about Spurlock because he's going to be and is really emerging as a wideout, but he's such a great special teams weapon. And, you know, he's Rich Bisacci and the special teams units have just delivered time and time again on this football team, bro.
Yeah, Michael Spurlock is he's a huge part of our team, whether that's on offense or special teams. I mean, everybody on the team knows that Michael Spurlock's a guy that we can count on, and he's a guy that we know is going to make the big play when it's asked of him.
27-21, and then take me down to the last couple of minutes. You guys get down there. You know, we're not going to spend all night on this, by the way, because I know you've talked about this forever and ever and ever. Well, first of all, what's your media week been like?
You know, I've had a few interviews. You know, the media department's done a good job of, I guess, filtering the ones, because so there's tons of requests. But,
yeah.
I mean, obviously you don't want that to distract you from your preparation. You know, I've been watching a lot of the Carolina Panthers. But, you know, I've had a – basically all the questions are fairly repetitive, you know. But after we got back yesterday, I was kind of – my thing was, I'm not talking about the previous week. I'm on to the next week.
Sure. So we're going to get through this real quick.
All right, cool. Let's do it.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Right after the game, emotions are high. You know, TJ's down in the locker room, and you kind of took a lot of it on yourself. You've had a couple of days to think about it. You still feel that, you know, the wins ride with the team, but the losses ride with you?
Yeah, that's I think that's the way it always goes. You know, obviously, I mean, the quarterback's got the ball in his hand on every play offensively, and there were a number of plays that obviously you wish you could have back, the couple interceptions. I mean, but, I mean, at the same time, you got to find a way to correct them. You know, obviously you make mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes cost you, sometimes they don't, but last Sunday they cost us, and you know, I got to go out back to the drawing board and try to figure out a way to find a way to win.
It's a game of inches, number 5. We'll come back and take your phone calls. You can talk to Josh Freeman, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. Should it have been a quarterback sneak? Should it have been a rolled out? See, I would have loved to have rolled you out. I don't know why. I think you're doing a great job of getting us near the promised land. I would at least would have given you one play with the ball in your hand to do what you did with Caddy or anything. I'm not, you know, I'm allowed to second guess people, by the way. It's my game, so don't worry about it. We'll come back and take your phone calls on the Josh Freeman Show. It's Thursday night right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host Scott Legend.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, there's a controversy surrounding, I guess basically what happens is your headset shuts off with 15 seconds left on the play clock. Is that how it works correctly?
Mm-hmm.
So the play clock wasn't properly reset, so you didn't get the full, which is what, 45 minus 15, you get 30 seconds of audio is usually how it works, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you didn't get the full 30 seconds, and all of a sudden everything goes dead in the ear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we just, you know, we don't want to, like, say that things were going wrong in Atlanta and blame it on anything that, you know, the Atlanta Falcons. But it was a little bit of a controversy earlier in the week, so I want to let's run over those plays real quick. By the way, Trevor, Chad, Stephen, Greg, Courtney, James, we are coming to you real quick. I just got to get your final take on those last couple snaps, because everyone's going to want to know. You know, first, you know, take me on the first down. Take me on first down.
Which one was it? Was first down the bubble screen?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
First down was
the
bubble screen.
You're at the 11-yard line.
11-yard line. Yep. I mean, I got in the huddle, called it out, kicked it out. Their backside safety, if he wouldn't have been there, man, I think Preston Parker would have split and scored a touchdown. But the safety makes the play. Let me see. The next one. Was the next one a LeGarrette run?
Yeah, then we're going to go into my charts here. And... yeah, of course. Here I am. Now I feel like an offensive coordinator who doesn't have his chart ready. There it is. Went to the run, timeout. Okay. Yeah, the receiver screen was the first one. That's the 3rd and 3 at the Atlanta. And then you have Blunt to the 1. Then you're 4th and inches. And then the timeout, the 30-yard sprint. And then there's Blunt on. So where's my second down? Yeah, what was second down? Controversy here.
I don't know. I want to say it was another run that kind of got wadded up.
And well, Blunt, yeah, because Blunt reached the ball out on 3rd down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, fast forward into 3rd down. I mean, good hard run by LeGarrette.
There we go.
We felt like he extended it far enough to get a first down, but obviously the spot.
Second down was, okay, over here, boom. Yeah, blunt right tackle.
Yeah.
And second down. No, if you're past short middle to Winslow? No, here we are down here. Okay, boom, boom, boom. Second down, Parker, left end. Preston Parker for 4 yards to the 7, and then no, that was the second down play.
Yeah, first down play.
Yeah, there we go.
First
okay, so the first one was a run. The second one was the bubble screen. That's what makes sense. And then LeGarrette for 2 yards down. And then we have the big fourth down play. You know, some people say Josh weighs 250. You know, why can't you have him with quarterback sneak? We're going to second guess. Everybody's going to second guess. That's part of what happens in football. Everybody's a Monday morning quarterback or a Thursday evening quarterback. But you know, how if you could pick it, would you like to roll out?
You know, honestly,
would you like to have that option like you did against the Rams?
I would want to pick whatever works. You know, I mean, that's honestly how it goes. You know,
yeah.
It really is. I mean, it's a matter of making it work. You know, I thought it was a great play call. They just made the tackle. You know,
yeah.
I'd say, I mean, 9 times out of 10, LeGarrette runs over the linebacker and it's a touchdown. But I mean, that time didn't work out. If you think about it, say we pass it on fourth down, and maybe someone broke up the pass. It was an overthrow. It was a drop. Something like that happened. And the next day, everybody's like, "Man, you should have just handed it to LeGarrette. He's 250 pounds. He's running everybody over." You know, so it's we feel like we have a very good running back in LeGarrette Blount. And you know, I didn't anticipate us going to him again in that situation. I anticipate him scoring.
And we will next time around. All right, guys, thanks for hanging on. We're coming to you. Trevor, you're up first on the Josh Freeman Show. Good evening.
Hey, thanks for taking my call tonight, guys.
Hey, Trevor, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. First off, I just want to start off by saying thank you to all of our veterans and all the men and women currently serving in the United States Armed Forces. My question for both of you guys really is, how many wins realistically do you think it's going to take to bring the Buccaneers back to the postseason?
That's a tough one.
That's a toughie. The AFC West, you could have a 7-9 or an 8-8 winner out there. I mean, you could easily have an 8-8 division winner, which means the wild card race is also a second option, because right now, obviously, Atlanta owns tiebreakers. The Saints are in front of you for tiebreakers. So if you're thinking, how did the Bucs get in, you think, A, they're either going to win their division or they're going to be a wild card. Right now, they're on the outside looking in on the division. So you're thinking wild card. Right now, you guys are primed. I mean, you could get in, I'd say nine could get you a wild card. 10 would definitely get you in.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what we've been going for the whole season, race to 10. I mean, that's been our mantra. But, you know, we feel like if we can go out and win the rest of our games, I mean, the ball's in our court. Obviously, we have to go to New Orleans, which is going to be a tough one. We have Carolina at home this week, which is their defense is playing extremely well. And, I mean, also, Atlanta's got to come here, I think, December 5th, is it?
Yeah, we got it right here. Atlanta's coming here on the 5th. Yep.
Yep, December 5th.
Yeah, that's
5th.
A throwback game. Now, you look good in that jersey, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
another three-touchdown game there, just like you did against the Packers last year.
Yeah.
But I'd say 9 or 10. Let's go back to the phones. Chad, you're up. How you doing, Chad? Welcome to the program.
Hey, Josh, how you doing?
Hey, Chad, how's it going?
Hey, it's great. Thanks for asking. Hey, I'm a Wildcat alum as well, and I was curious to know if you got to see us beat Texas last weekend. And then, as well, you get a follow the Wildcats. And then the last question I want to know, too, who has the bigger impact on your life at your tenure at K-State? Was it Ron Prince or was it Coach Raheem? Thanks. I'll listen.
All right. I definitely got to see – I'd probably say I got to see the second half of the K-State game. We were in meetings for the first half. And, I'm my best friend is Carson Kaufman, and I keep up with him, I mean, basically daily, watching them, what's going on, and always seeing how he's doing, how the team's doing. And I talked to a number of other guys on the team. Definitely, I mean, I was only with Raheem for a year, and he's my D coordinator. I mean, I got to know him, but bigger impact would definitely have to be Ron Prince. You know, he taught me a lot about being a leader, about being a quarterback and playing good offense.
All right, we're going to go right back to the phones. We still have Courtney, James, and Greg. Stand by. We're coming to you. Steven, you're up on the Josh Freeman Show.
Hey, what's good, gentlemen?
How you doing, Steven?
What's going on?
Hey, just got a question. First off, big Bucks fan in Orlando, been repping you guys forever. Got a Cowboys fan last year that was laughing at me. I'm laughing at him this year, so it's great. First question, though, I noticed, you know, you had two interceptions in the game. One of the interceptions, though, you had the defensive lineman coming at you and you kind of tossed it up. I was wondering, because normally you're usually able to shake those off, get something downfield, but this guy, I don't know, did something different. I was wondering what happened different on that play that caused the ball to just go flying up in there. And then second, I noticed earlier in the offseason you kind of shaved your head, was going with a different look. Do you plan on doing that again at any time, or are you going to rock the fro for a little bit? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right, well, what happened on the first play, you know, I was suspected blitz, so I slid the offensive line one way and was going to deal with the D end in my face and thought I could get it out to the flat in time. But, I mean, the corner jumped it, and I was trying to avoid an interception. I tried to step back and put it on his back shoulder, but I guess I didn't get it out fast enough. The guy got his hand on my arm and ball in the air, interception. And then as far as shaving the head goes, you know, I've been contemplating it, you know. I might take it down in steps. But I don't know. I can definitely see it getting shorter here pretty soon.
Breaking news. Breaking. I don't know, man. I kind of like the way you're wearing it now, man. It's you. It's your look. Don't change your look for anybody except change it for you. I'd keep rocking. Absolutely. Right. Greg, you're up on the Josh Freeman Show. Appreciate you hanging on.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Josh, I think you're doing a really great job. Especially watching this year, it seems like you're reading the defense better because you're calling different plays. As you come up to the line, you're changing plays. And wondering, how do you read that? And how do you go about changing plays?
You know, it's changing plays. The art of audibling is getting your team out of a bad play, but not being greedy. You know, I mean, the coach calls a play, and there's a chance of getting a bad look to run the play into. And if it's a bad look, I mean, you need to audible to a good play. But if you're already in a play that works versus that coverage or works versus that defensive front, then, I mean, you got to let it ride. You know, you can't say, well, I mean, it's a pretty even up front, so I'm going to check to a pass and try to throw it deep every time. You know, you still strive to maintain balance. And, I mean, being able to do that, I mean, it comes from film study and also taking coaching. You know, my coaches know what works and they know what doesn't work versus what, and how to get out of stuff. And, you know, it's just been a process of, I guess, maturing and being more comfortable and more understanding of what my job is on Sunday.
What is the percentage just off the top of your head that you're checking plays at the line of scrimmage? 20, 30?
No. No. It's tough to tell. I mean, it depends on the game. But, I mean, a lot of the time it's as simple as changing the point where the O-line's going, you know.
Just shifting protections.
Yeah, shifting protections. Like points in the run game, sometimes they'll bring it down one way. You might have to bring down a receiver and send the O-line to a guy over just to make it square back up. But the majority of the time, you know, Coach Olson has a great idea what the defense is going to run, predicting that. And it's usually calls pretty good game, good plays, but sometimes you check it. Sometimes you send a different route or send me on a different route, but it really is just trying to get out of bad plays.
That's exactly what it is. Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. We've got open lines on both those. Also have an open line at 1-800-596-BUCKS. James, you're on deck. We're coming to you right after Courtney. Courtney, welcome to the program.
Hey, Josh, man, I want to call. I'm calling from Dallas, man. I'm a huge Bucks fan, been since I was a little kid, man. I want to congratulate you on the season, man. I want to congratulate you on your progress coming from K-State. My first cousin was the starting running back at Baylor, Brandon Whitaker, and he gave me a heads up about you, and he was like, man, this guy is athletic, and he's like, you know, once his accuracy becomes, you know, NFL level, this guy's going to be a beast. So I had a keen eye for, you know, you coming in. And I have two questions for you. What do you do to keep your shoulder, your throwing arm, you know, the back of your shoulder loose and keep that ready for, you know, every week after the pounding, after the shots that you take every week and the throwing, the amount of throws you take? And my second question is also, how do you key on a moving defense like the Browns, like the Jets, when they come with all those standing pieces and they overload one side, strong side, a weak side, and they or they walk everybody to the line. And I'll hang up and let you answer. Thanks, man.
All right, well.
Those Ryan brothers are crazy.
Yeah, they really are. And
they're playing each other this week.
Actually playing the Jets last year and seeing that type of defense really prepared us for the first game this week, and understanding and recognizing the certain blitzes that they were bringing, and I think really allowed us to take advantage of that kind of thing. And as far as my shoulder, right now it's pretty easy because, I mean, I'm only 22, and I really haven't taken that many severe shots. But when my shoulder does happen to get a little tired or laying down it or something, just ice, you know, I ice it a lot and try to keep it stretched out and keep it loose.
What kind of exercises do you do? Like the rubber band kind of thing? You see baseball players doing that,
yeah,
bending at the elbow and those kind of stuff.
That sort of stuff. You just got to keep your rotator cuff loose and flexible.
All right, James, appreciate you hanging on. It's worth the while. You're on with Josh Freeman.
How you doing, Josh?
Hey, what's going on, James?
I just want to say a couple of things. You said this was your worst game of the season, I heard you say. But I think you played pretty well. I think you're doing a good job for us, and I just hope you, keep up the good work, and let's get to the playoffs, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's definitely the goal, man.
Sorry, I voted you in the Pro Bowl, too.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Nice.
Appreciate that, man. And I mean, we're working hard. You know, the goal is 10 wins. You know, we feel like at the halfway point we're right on schedule, 5-3. If we can go out and find a way to win 5 out of these next 8, I mean, I think we got a pretty good chance.
Your quarterback rating's at 85% last year when you finished up your 9th game. You finished 8th this year. It was at 59.8, so you're up there 25, 26 points. Your completion percentage is also up almost to 60, where it was at just above 54 last year. Because the accuracy, the question that came up a couple of minutes ago, some people say when quarterbacks aren't accurate, it's because, you know, they're not following through, or they're not leading with their shoulder. You know, in other words, technique.
Yeah.
And sometimes accuracy is not making up your mind in time to throw the ball. When you're increasing your accuracy, which is what we're seeing happen. What's that coming from? It's going up. So what's making that go up?
It's definitely all in my head. You know, I mean, it's knowing where you're going to go with the ball and knowing how you got to get it there. You know, it's an angle trajectory. I mean, there's a lot that goes into accuracy, but I feel like the more I get to throw, the more I get to work with these receivers,
yeah,
the more confidence.
I was going to say that, too. Knowing your receivers obviously helps, too.
Yeah, the more confidence I have, you know, just when I step in. If I can step into it and throw it, you know, I feel like I'm as accurate as anyone.
And you're throwing lanes, you know, things like, well, you're 6'5", so.
Yeah.
Do you need a throwing lane?
Yeah, I mean, crossing routes.
Some of those quarterbacks definitely needed one. Definitely needed one. They were kind of, you know, the Doug Flutie's of the world. Definitely needed the throwing lane. All right, guys, we'll come back, take your calls. We got a couple open lines. We had a good band of callers there. Let's lock and load some more, you guys. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. Got about 20 minutes left on the Josh Freeman Show. Michael Spurlock is our guest tomorrow night. We'll be talking to him about those kick returns and him stepping up at wide receiver, becoming more and more of a, not just a target, but a target in traffic and a target with big catches under his belt. And we'll talk to him tomorrow night right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
We're back with the Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Josh Freeman Show. Every Thursday night, we sit down with number 5 quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 5-3, and the race to 10. Carolina up next. Trap game. I hear all kinds of phrases. Sarge, hang on. We're coming to you. You're on deck. We're going to Tony. Tony, you're on with Josh Freeman. Tony Watts.
Hello?
Hi, Tony. Yeah, we got you, bro.
Yes. First thing I want to say to Josh Freeman, I mean, he said that he had a bad game Sunday.
I thought, I mean, this offense kept us in the game this Sunday because, you know, our defense couldn't stop them in the first half, and Josh Freeman was just keep making explosive plays. And I just want to tell him that, you know, I never seen this offense for 9 years that I'm watching the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. Since I came in this country, I never seen the offense play any better than this year.
Yeah, a lot of big plays, huh?
A lot of big plays, that's number one. And the number two, I got to say, I'm going tonight to watch the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm going to be the biggest Baltimore Raven fans ever.
That's great.
And thank you. Hey, thank you for doing a good job, man. And you guys have a good night.
Thanks, Tony.
Well, that's all right, Tony. You could have told Josh he was sitting right here waiting on you, brother. It was kind of neat the other day to sit on that stage down at MacDill Air Force Base, ask you guys a couple of questions. You were down there, and LeGarrette was down there, and Gino, and the cheerleaders, Mark Dominic. But why don't you kind of reiterate, though? First of all, we were down at MacDill Air Force Base, as the Bucks are, of course, are huge supporters of the military. But you made time out of your day to get out there, drive your own car down there. What was that like for you?
You know, it was a great opportunity, you know, a great experience. I mean, I think it's our job as players, you know, to show the military that, I mean, we appreciate what they're doing and I mean, all the work that they put in so we can go out and play on Sundays. And that was basically the message. I mean, we were just going out there thanking them, send autographs for a while out and heated up for
yeah, it did get a little warm out there.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, it was just, I mean, great to go out and see all those guys, you know, and I know LeGarrette and Gino feel the same way. I mean, we really appreciate everything that the military does for us.
We're going right back to the phone. Sarge, you are up with Josh Freeman. Welcome.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Doing great.
Hey, Sarge.
Hey, I just got a question for you.
All right.
I was thinking on that Atlanta play at the end of the game where we had LeGarrette running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
If we could do something like Chicago did back in the day with Refrigerator Perry, except on that side we could put McCoy, I think they said Miller was there, and they kind of have what's called a pork chop set up.
All right.
Well, we load that side with the big boys,
mm-hmm,
and run LeGarrette right behind them. Do you think something like that will work, or am I just a lunatic? Well, I'll answer the second question.
You know, the thing, you look at the guys on our line compared to Gerald, I guess, physically, and some of the guys on our line are bigger than Gerald, you know? I mean, you throw Donald Penn over on that side. You throw, trying to think who our big bodies are, but, True Blood. Davin Joseph, maybe if you made an unbalance on the line, maybe overloaded that side, had all those guys just get a good push, you know, and just outsize them, you know, that's... Yeah, I'm not so sure we have the size of I guess the Bears back in the day.
Yeah. Well, Roy Miller's about the same size as Refrigerator was, maybe not in girth, but he's.
But something along that line, you know, as I said, we get a pork chop package on that side. I'm sure we'll get that 1 yard.
All right, duly noted.
You got it. All right, Sarge. And Sarge, with a name like Sarge, I'm sure you have spent some time in the military serving the United States of America?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Make sure to thank you. That's exactly why we're saying that. We appreciate your phone call. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. 1-800-596-BUCKS. We got Chris in St. Pete. You're up with Josh Freeman.
Hey, what's going on, Ledge?
Hey, how you doing, bro?
Hey, Josh. How's it going?
Hey, Chris, I'm doing great. How are you?
All right, man. I watched the game last week, and I don't want to get into, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, we came up a little bit short, but just my only comment on that is there are certain quarterbacks who are built for the quarterback sneak. I mean, Josh, that's just the way it is, and I don't want you to question Coach Raheem's play calling or Olsen or anybody. But just remember, if they're listening, there are certain quarterbacks who are built for the quarterback sneak, and I'd run you 100 out of 100 times on that play there. But that's what I just had to say on that, Josh. As far as grading yourself, I know all of us call in, we're giving you accolades that are well-deserved, and we're, you know, giving you praises and all that. How do you assess yourself, and what are your personal goals and grades for yourself? Because I know you seem like a person who strives for perfection. And I'm going to hang up and listen, but just what are your personal goals and how do you grade out yourself?
You know, I try to go out every day and complete every pass, go 100% on all my checks, 100% on all my protection calls. And, you know, it's you get to the game and I want to be completely prepared. I want to go out and ultimately win the game. You know, it's really all about winning and losing. And, I mean, some games you don't play great and you win them. Other games you play great and you lose them. But, I mean, I think it's all about finding a way to manage the game from an offensive standpoint, whether it's managing field position, time, and obviously being able to score enough points to win. But, you know, I really honestly just want to continue improving, get better in every area of my game and also especially win.
We asked you, I think it was the first 2 weeks that you sat down to do this show, you used the word install a lot when talking about the preseason, especially mini camps and all that, and basically learning the plays, installing the plays, getting everybody in the offense familiar. Now, without LeGarrette Blount, obviously, because he's still kind of trying to catch up, but how much is install every week and how much is game planning for, let's say, the Carolina Panthers, for instance? I mean, is everything you practice this week going to be used this week, or is it just, you know, when you get into the regular season, well, I don't hear that word install as much. What is that?
Well, I mean, usually you don't. You try to put, I'd say, 98% of your playbook in during training camp, and then everything else is just maybe a little wrinkle that they throw in for that team that mm-hmm. week, you know. And you'll install that, and then also you'll go over all the plays you could possibly run, even if you've already covered them, and you put that in for the game plan that week. And we run hundreds of plays in practice, and you only get, say, around 65 snaps a game. Of actual offense snaps. So, I mean, some you run, some you don't. You get put in certain situations that call for certain plays, but you really don't do a whole lot of, I guess, installation in season.
Gotcha. All right, Leonard in Lakeland, you're on deck. We're coming to you right after we go to Rich in Largo. Rich in Largo, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Josh, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Rich?
Hey, I know a lot of people ask a lot of questions and stuff, but I've been a long-time Bucs fan, and what I want to say is, I've seen you mature since last season, and all I got to say is you make smart decisions. You're out there, you're watching your checkdowns, you're doing a great job. I like it when you rush, and you seem to have control of the game. So that's all I'm going to really say. I'm really impressed, and me and my whole family will be watching you from here on out. You're the franchise quarterback of the team.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
That's your nickname. You have a couple of people calling you Josh Franchise around here now.
You
know that?
Oh, yeah?
A couple of guys, yeah. Scotty Reynolds, who writes for Pewter Report. That's his nickname for you. Last year in 9 games, you had 10 touchdowns and 18 picks. This year in 8 games, you have 10 touchdowns and 5 picks. That is going from a 1-2 ratio to a 2-1 ratio, which is actually a 200% switch. In other words, you know, obviously 2-1 is great. 3-1 is very good. It's not like you are trying to dial in anything specifics, but I can tell you came in with a concerted effort to want to protect the football more this year. And was that why you were kind of hard on yourself last game?
Yeah. You know, I mean, the first interception was a bonehead play. And, you know, you got to, in that situation, if your guy's not quite has his head around and you feel like you're going to throw an interception,
you don't throw it. Yeah, throw it the back of the center.
Throw it at his feet.
Yeah.
Or just try to shake the guy off and get back to the line of scrimmage. You know, you can't make a mistake in enemy territory like that. And then the second one, you know, the guy just made a good jump on the ball. Felt like there was maybe a bit of a slingshot, but catapult. But at the same time, it's football, you know. In the fourth quarter football, the refs let him play. So, I mean, I got to find somewhere else to go with that football or just throw it away. And, let the play another down.
Got it. Leonard in Lakeland, you're on with Josh Freeman. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Leonard, how are you?
Hey, I was just going to call and congratulate you. You're having a great season, man. Me and my buddies at work, we're all super excited about what you're doing out here, man.
Hey, thanks, Leonard, man. I'm working hard. The rest of the guys are working hard. We're just trying to, I guess, restore the order around here.
I got a question about you. coach come out and said that y'all didn't even want Randy Moss because y'all had a bunch of young dynamic receivers, especially Spurlock, Mike Williams. But there's somebody else out there. I know Gale Sayers, he came in to y'all visit y'all,
yeah.
Visit a couple of y'all's Kansas Jayhawk players y'all got. And I know y'all been watching this kid when he was in college, Desmond Briscoe, and I was just been calling to see about how he's doing. Well, how is his progress going? I know he's on the practice squad, but just figure out about how you feel about all the receivers and how their play is.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about us not getting to Randy Moss. It's because, I mean, we got a lot of young guys, a lot of young talent that, I mean, we feel great about. And Desmond Briscoe is one of them. I mean, he's a guy that we acquired from Cincinnati. And I mean, he's been great for us. You know, I could definitely see him in the future finding a spot on the field with us on Sundays. You know, he's a dynamic player, great hands, runs extremely tight routes and catches basically anything in his area. So Briscoe's doing a great job, and like him and Akeem, I mean, it's good to have them on your team and not play against them.
Yeah, but Sammy had a little bit of a foot injury in the last couple of weeks. Michael Spurlock, and you obviously know about Michael Spurlock and his pass catching ability. But does it work that way with you that each time anybody makes a big play in the back of your mind, it's just the trust issue goes up another percent here, another percent there. It's like you trust Winslow, and you know, and now you trust Spurlock, now you trust Williams, now you're trusting Ben Moore. I mean, is that what they mean by chemistry?
Yeah, and it's really getting a feel for how everybody runs their routes. I mean, what they're going to do in a pressure situation. And, I mean, ultimately, you want the guys that you trust and the guys that you feel great with on the field with you when it comes down to the wire at the end of the game. And I can tell you, any one of those guys that we just named, I feel completely confident that they'll go out and perform well enough to get the job done.
That is Josh Freeman. You might be able to sneak in a phone call before we say goodnight. 813-990-4620. Pinellas 727-461-4620. 1-800-596-BUCKS. Trap game. You know what a trap game is? Trap game is a game you're supposed to win. And, usually you're looking past this team. You guys haven't been a favored football team that often this year. You have been dogs in your own house. You are now favored to be a team and expected. That's the word I'm going to use in front of you. You haven't had a lot of expectations as a football team, but this is a big game. This is, you know, regardless of how banged up and whoever they have at running back, it's still the Carolina Panthers. What has your coach told you about this game?
I mean, you can't overlook anybody. I mean, it's the NFL. I mean, it's not like college. You schedule a team that's kind of a fluff game just to get warmed up. Or, I mean, every team has, talented players. I mean, you look at the percentage of guys from high school that actually make it into the NFL, and it's far less than 1%. And, I mean, they're talented. They're definitely talented on defense. And, I mean, as an offense, I mean, we know we got our work cut out for us. You know, people can say what they want. Oh, you guys are going to kill these guys. You guys are going to blow these guys out. You know, it's going to be a dogfight regardless, you know. And I feel like we are we're setting our jaw for a dogfight. We're getting ready to go into a game that we feel like we're going to have to play our best football to win. And I think if we carry that mentality in, we'll be just fine.
There's a seat with your name on it right there at Raymond James Stadium. Go to Buccaneers.com if you want to come check out this game. Of course, it'll be all over your radio. Pre-game starts early in the morning on Sunday, and a 1 o'clock kickoff as the Carolina Panthers come in to take on the 5-3 Buccaneers, trying to move to 6-3. I'm Ledge. We're coming back to finish up the Josh Freeman Show. Don't forget, Michael Spurlock will sit down with us tomorrow night right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035.
Welcome back to the Josh Freeman Show. Jeff Ryan was just reminding us, I'm not sure if you've seen it, I'm sure if you Google trick play, it was like a middle school, it was like a junior varsity game where the quarterback kind of, the center just kind of picks the ball up and reaches around and hands it to the quarterback, and the quarterback looks like he's literally marching off a 5-yard penalty for his team while the defense just stands there and looks at him. And then as soon as he gets past the linebackers, he just breaks and runs and scores a touchdown. But you were talking about you guys had your own play.
Oh, yeah. We had the old wrong football. You know, I mean, teams in high school used all sorts of different kind of footballs.
Sure, that's true, yeah.
And the center, I mean, basically the snap of the ball, the center just has to hand it backwards. So the center picks up the ball, turns around, hands it to the quarterback. I look at the ball like it's the wrong ball, start holding my hands up. Then I start walking to our sideline to try to get a different ball. And at that time, our receiver on the backside is running deep, and I get to launch it up for a touchdown.
Did it work?
Yeah, it definitely worked.
Is there a video? There's got to be a video of that somewhere.
I don't know if we ever ran it in a game, but we ran it in practice.
What was it called? Wrong ball? It's called wrong ball?
I don't know exactly what we called that. I don't know. My memory from high school, we called plays. It's tough. I remember we did some of the base plays, but none of the trick plays.
Now, you have to call set, correct?
Hmm?
So that means no one can move their feet. I mean, when the ball is kind of handed to you, wouldn't it be a legal procedure if the if
no, I mean, everybody just kind of gets up there and, I mean, their feet have to be set. They're
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Kind of just stand okay. There waiting for it, and I'm like, hey, that's not our ball, and the center picks it up. Picks it up, kind of looks at it, turns around, hands it to me. I kind of look at it, start walking the sideline, making a big deal, like you're upset that the wrong ball is
there. That probably wouldn't work at Raymond James this Sunday.
Definitely not. what would happen is I'd pick it up and, hey, wrong ball, and next thing you know, John Beeson.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say John Beeson would come a-hunting. Oh, by the way, I did a conference call with him the other day, and he had some great answers. You'll hear that on the pregame show. And I kind of brought up your five-pick game last year, and I asked him about your maturity, your growth and change. And boy, I'll tell you what, he was heaving some love on you. So I'm not sure how much love he's going to heave on you on Sunday, but it seems like the Carolina Panthers have certainly noticed number five a little bit more, especially after this first game and everything. But you only got a couple minutes left before we shut him down. And this is the I said this when you were signing the autographs earlier. This game is kind of that pivotal game because then you go on the road for two more games. You play Frisco. You got to travel to Baltimore, and then you come back. So basically, you've got three more road games after this game coming up. So 6-3 would just be a real nice setup going into late, just before you get to Thanksgiving, huh?
Yeah, for sure. After last week, 6-2 would have been nice. This week, 7-2. The next week, 10-2.
I was thinking the same thing.
But I mean, you can't get that one back. So I mean, you gotta press on, keep moving forward, and. I mean, yeah, this is definitely a huge game, and our goal to win 10 games, it's definitely a huge one. Nobody in our building is overlooking the Carolina Panthers whatsoever. I mean, we realize what kind of team they can be, their potential, and we know that their defense is going to come ready to play. They're third in the league against the pass.
Stay healthy, number five. Good show.
Hey. Thanks, Ledge.
You got it. Thanks for everybody that called in. Lots of good calls tonight. Don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. We'll sit down with wide receiver kick returner Michael Spurlock for Buccaneers Total Access. Don't forget, your pregame starts at 10:30 on Sunday morning. We'll talk to you in the morning as well with your Buccaneer update. I'm Scott Ledger. You've been listening to the Josh Freeman Show right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to the Josh Freeman Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.